Last week, Lori and I had gone up to Hot Sulphur Springs to speak at a church, Hot Sulphur Springs Community Church. It's a rather long name. Put that on a sign, it cost a lot of money. But we had a really good time. Hot Sulphur Springs is not exactly a large town. It's a pretty small community, but we had a really good interaction with Mark and Rachel Coleman. Mark's the pastor of that church, and we've been in contact as a church with them for a few years now, and it's neat to see God's activity among the community in the mountains, and it's neat to see God working and bringing truth to bear in people's lives. So wonderful to get to know them a little bit better, and so that's where we were last week, and it's good to be back, and hope that God will bless us as we make our way through 1 Peter. So today, this morning, we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, and Lord willing, we'll be making our way through verses 13 through 17, and we're going to be talking about the importance of showing respect for people in positions of authority. The importance of showing respect for people in positions of authority. This is one of those messages that I would ask that you ask God to open your heart. As I prepared for this message, I found myself experiencing significant conviction about my own attitude at times toward those who hold positions of authority. And it's something that I need God to work in me and to change in me. And there may be some of you who might find yourself in the same situation. I would certainly say that as a country, that respect for authority today is sorely lacking just across the spectrum of all of life. There's a tremendous amount of disrespect. And people who hold positions of authority are typically not honored in any way. The idea that most people come across with is, I will honor you when I feel like you deserve to be honored. And until you deserve to be honored, I owe you nothing. And because there is no biblical mooring or biblical consistency in our lives, then basically each man and woman are judged to themselves as to how that's going to be processed and who will receive authority. So across the scope of our entire life, we see a total breakdown of authority and respect for authority. It's a good thing that that hasn't found its way in the church. But it has. And we all need to hear these kinds of things, and we all need to be challenged in this way. You know, God comes and he works in incredible ways to stir us to the awareness of our sinfulness. We're going through life. We're tracking down that course. Everything seems to be fine. Then all of a sudden, certain things happen. It's hard to know what it is. It's different for everyone. But then God begins to stir the awareness of your emptiness, begins to stir the awareness of your fault, and where do these feelings of guilt come from? And then you're pressed into this realization, God is real, and he's true, and he's holy, and I'm not. And we're in that's a desperate spot. What are we going to do? Am I going to clean up my act? I'm going to try to turn over a new leaf? Well, that doesn't work very well. If you're like me, it doesn't last. What we have to come to the awareness of is what God wants from me, I can't produce. I get indeed to trust in Jesus. So we trust that work that Jesus Christ has done for us, that he died on the cross. He and he alone paid the penalty for our sin. And it's his righteousness, it's his righteousness alone that God credits to us, that gives us proper standing. And we cry out to God in his mercy, trusting Jesus Christ to set us free from the bondage of our sin, from the condemnation of our sin. And we trust that work of Christ. And as God begins to do that work, and as he's working to change us and to shape us, then we find that this culture that we were just so easily identified with, and we're flowing down this way, now all of a sudden we're going in a different direction. And we're feeling pretty good about the things that we're learning and the things that we're realizing. We're starting to walk in new ways and practice new things. And then the next thing you know, the people around us are starting to find fault with us. What's the matter with you? Why don't you lighten up? Why do you have to hold to those kinds of things? I mean, good. What do you think you're better than I am? These types of things start to happen. And not only do we find this on a personal basis, we start to see it happening in the organizational structures that are around us. And people are opposed to walking in the truth and in righteousness. And when you experience that opposition, it does some stuff to your heart inside. There's initially kind of the shock, because we're just trying to do the right things. But then the opposition comes. The difficulties come. Then you begin to wonder, what's up with this? And when that intensifies, our humanity begins to manifest itself. And we start to get in the flesh against those who are in the flesh against us. And we begin to develop attitudes of resentment, frustration, bitterness. How are we going to deal with all these things? This passage of scripture, I think, gives us some principles to take to heart about how we handle those things. Because God has given us clear instructions on how we are to respond to those who hold positions of authority. Whether you agree with them or not, there are ways that you and I, as followers of Jesus, are called upon to respond, to react, how to feel toward those people. This is a very convicting message to me, because I, along with you, we're inundated with all kinds of information about what's going on around us. We are moved and this types of things are propagated to our hearing that want to bring about a certain response from us. And many times it's very successful, because if you're like me, I can get irritated reading the news. I can get irritated listening and hearing what's going on around me. And I have to ask myself very penetrating questions. God, what do you want from me? What's the right way to respond to this? When we see evil people prospering and accomplishing more, I want to be able to call evil evil, because I think that's what's right. But I need to do that in a way that's honoring and respecting of you, who's put all this together. These are challenging things. This is not easy stuff. So hopefully there will be principles in this passage that will help us. Are the lights the same they were in the first service? Because I'm going blind, I think. I can't see my notes as clearly. Is there? Thank you. I appreciate that. This happens when you get old. So I need to be able to see. So let's look at this passage. We'll start in verse 13. Peter writes to these suffering Christians. He says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." And from those verses, we see that followers of Jesus respect those in positions of authority in society. Followers of Jesus are to respect those people who hold positions of authority in society. You and I are not supposed to sit back here and say, well, if they earned our respect, we're supposed to respect them. Why? Because God tells us to respect them. He's not asking you to figure out whether they are respectable. He says, respect them. They hold these positions. Acknowledge that. Understand that. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. The word subject means to submit to or to obey. Be subject, submit to them, obey them. Followers of Jesus should be known for their willingness to be courteously responsive to all those in positions of authority. Followers of Jesus should be known for their willingness to be courteously responsive to all those in positions of authority. If we were simply to unpack that one sentence as an understanding and interpretation of that text, there's enough conviction in that to last all of us. This does not mean that we are to be cordial until the official is unpleasant or unkind. This anticipates that they're already being unpleasant and unkind. These Christians are in a society that is in opposition to them. Those who hold positions of authority are not being affirming and warm and engaging. They're harsh. Some of these persecutions and some of these afflictions and some of these sufferings that these people in these churches are experiencing may very well be coming from those in those positions. So Peter's telling them, how do you react? How do you respond? Our lives have been changed. We're doing things differently, and this is kind of what we're feeling. And Peter's hearing things about what they're going through, and he's saying, here's some things you need to understand. Here's some things you need to put into practice in your lives. Those who follow Jesus should react to opposition and harshness from governing officials with attitudes and actions that show forbearance and a willingness to be compliant. You say, are you kidding me? That's what it means to be subject to those who are in positions of authority. That's our call by God. It's what he's asking of us. It's not to call evil good. It's how do you and I respond to the evil that comes? And it will come. How are we to react to these types of things? Well, with forbearance. With a willingness to be compliant. You say, well, that is not natural. And you're right. We're going to have to draw on the strength that God supplies. Because this isn't going to come from you or I. We're going to have to get on our face before God, and we're going to have to say, you're going to have to change me, God. Because what I do and what I feel naturally is not at all like this. He says, whether it be to the emperor supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. So those who hold the highest offices in the land should be respected. And they should be respected personally. They should be respected privately. And they should be respected publicly. You say, seriously? Yeah. It's hard. It's tough. It's a difficulty. We have governing officials in our country, don't we? We have a president. We have a Congress, the Senate and the House. This isn't civics class. I'm just trying to, you know. We have these structures who are here. And from them, then, we'll have state governments that also we're responsible for. We have governors, and we have houses of Congress in the states. And then we have law enforcement officers and judges and various officials. And we've got people who take care of making sure that everything operates according to code. And there's so many areas for us to be irritated. There's so many places for us to be upset with the way things are handled and the way things happen. Don't misunderstand me. This is not to try to say that everything that everyone does in positions of authority is proper and right and just and holy. I think we have to call evil evil, and we have to call good good. But the way we do it's really important. I need to learn from this. I think a lot of us do. those who hold supporting offices, those who descend from those supreme areas, who carry out all the directives of those ruling authorities, should know that we're respectful and compliant as well. So from the top to the bottom of governing officials, we're to be respectful and we are to be compliant. We should respect the ruling officials of our country. We should have highest respect for the President of the United States. We should have highest respect for the congressmen and congresswomen who hold these positions. Our hearts should be respectful. We should. That doesn't mean we agree with everything they say or do. It's just, we're to be respectful. All the way down. That means even when you're standing in line at the DMV, and you've been, you're, you know, they're serving 62 and you got 4,000. And you're kind of having a busy time. And then you happen to get up there to the desk, and when they call your number and you sit down, and the person who addresses you doesn't say, "Thank you for waiting so patiently. I'm here to help you." They say, "What do you need?" What is your reaction? What's my reaction? We're supposed to be respectfully compliant. We're to take notice of that. When you interact with law enforcement, you're supposed to be respectful. You're supposed to honor them. If they pull you over and you don't think you were wrong, and especially if you were wrong, you should be respectful and compliant. You should be showing tremendous respect for those people. That's what God has called us to. That's not what comes out of us naturally. It's what God has said, this is to characterize my people. Our desire is to be respectful and compliant because we know God has placed them in these positions that they hold. And they govern society from this place of common grace. God's common grace uses them to accomplish the things, to keep our society from coming apart. The emperor sends his governing officials to uphold law and order. And as followers of Jesus, we know that the unseen hand of God is operating behind the scenes to enact this law and order. It's for the Lord's sake. Isn't that what he says? Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." If we didn't have governing authorities, what would be the condition of our society? I mean, look, we have governing authorities, and look what's happening. Okay, you say, well, that's their problem. It's all of our problems. But imagine what would be taking place if we didn't have these officials. What kind of chaotic nonsense, what kind of just chaos would be resulting in the streets on a day-by-day basis? We'd have riots. We'd have lawlessness happening. It's unbelievable. We've got to have law and order. We have to have structure to restrain the evil. And this is all designed by God. That doesn't mean that every president, every congressman, every official, every police officer, every sheriff, every person who helps to uphold these things understands and believes that God is real and they are his servant. Quite the opposite. Many of them absolutely feel very independent in their functions and don't have any honor of God at all. That does not change the fact they are there by God's design. And our responsibility is to honor them accordingly. Honor God. We need to reshape our thinking. We need to not only reshape our thinking, we need to reshape our reactions to what happens. God's got to work in my heart in this. He's got to work in all of our hearts in this. You say, so, what about these people in these positions of authority who try to do what and force us to do what's wrong? What then? Well, you know what? Peter knows fully well what governing authorities can do, and he knows what it's like to be asked to do something that God said he should do, asked not to do something that God said, do this. If we are instructed to disobey biblical truth, we must never violate the teaching of God's word. We must do what God has instructed us to do in his scripture and not conform then to those instructions that tell us to do otherwise. Listen to what happened to Peter in Acts chapter 5. This is written and recorded by Luke in Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. It says, and when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them. Brought the disciples in. The disciples had been out ministering the gospel, sharing the gospel, and powerful things were happening. So these things were happening. And so it says the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, the name of Jesus. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. There's our commission. If God tells us to do something, we do it, even if the government tells us not to do it. If the government tells us not to do something or to do something, we're to do what God has said. That's our heart. That's what we've got to be committed to. If we're told to violate biblical instruction, we must entrust ourselves to God, obey God, and suffer the consequences. What happened to Peter when he said, we must obey God rather than men? Well, if you go back and you read the context of that, it says they kind of had this little powwow. And Gamaliel steps up and says, hey, if this thing is of God, there's nothing we can do about it. We'll just have to see what happens. And they beat them and set them free. And the disciples rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Now that's the way you and I should respond. When was the last time you got a beating? No, but see, it might happen. But what's the reaction of our heart? It should be like that. We're thankful, God, for the opportunity to represent you. Hard stuff. Not an easy thing. You want to obey God or you want to obey man? You want to obey God? You say, see, but these people are so wrong. Why are they standing against this? Why are they doing this? See, in our own hearts, we can put forth our own pressures, our own thoughts, rather than submit to God. We end up doing the very thing we're standing against. We're upset because they stand against what God says is true. And then we react in a way that puts forth our opinions above God's. We're wrong to do so. So these instructions do not mean that these governing authorities can do no wrong. It does mean that our attitudes and reactions can be wrong. And we must trust in dwelling grace to be respectful, to be discerning, and to be wise. We need God. We need the God in all of this. It needs to impact how we think, how we reason, how we feel. It should challenge us to reassess the way we listen to news, how we react to political pressures and situations in our world. Biblical truth is very practical. And many times in situations like this, for some of us, it's very painful. We've got to do what God wants. So we move on. Followers of Jesus return good for evil. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. For this is the will of God. The four connects this instruction to the previous verse. So this is all following down from that previous instruction. Graciously doing what is right is how God wants us to respond to those who oppose us. The ignorance of foolish people applies to the verbal opposition brought by the ruling officials and the general populace. They see something in our behavior that they don't like, and they stand against that. We're going against the norms, and they take issue with us. And we have a responsibility that we are to do good. Ignorance, the words ignorance and foolish are not demeaning of their, are not demeaning descriptions of their intellectual capabilities. That's not what Peter's trying to do here. But they're the fact, they are facts of their moral awareness. Morally, they are defiled and they are separated from the life of God. So that's why they are ignorant and foolish. Followers of Jesus are not to come off like anarchists in society. We can look around and we can see this happening in our society right now, can't we? There are things that are happening all around us where people, they don't feel they're being treated properly. And what are they doing? They're going to the streets and they're trying to get their voices heard and have people respond to how they're acting. So as Christians, should that be what we do? If the governing officials come against what we think is right, should we go out to the streets and should we march and we protest and we say, you have no right to treat us? We have our rights. We deserve this. No, we're not to take to the streets. We should get on our faces before God. We should ask God to help us. We desire to see gospel grace change us. We desire to see gospel grace change others. And we desire to see gospel grace consequently change culture. You see, God changes hearts. We don't. You and I can't change people's hearts. It's not possible for you and I to change a person's heart. We can't do that. Isn't that right, Mom and Dad? Think about it. How successful are you at changing your child's heart? You say, well, if I'm pressured enough and I get more authoritative, I can change their behavior. Changing their behavior is not changing their heart. Fact of the matter is, your children have hearts that are wayward. They need God. They need God's grace. They need to be enlightened. And this is a process of enlightening them, teaching them, training them, bringing them up into these truths where you show consistently your heart is wayward. You want to do your own will and you're walking your own ways. And that's not what God wants from you. And that's not going to bless you and benefit you. You need God's grace. You need his mercy. You need to submit to him. That's what we're crying out before God. God, change the heart of my child. Change his heart because I can't. The best thing for you to admit as a parent is you cannot change your child's heart. Because when you try to change your child's hearts, all you're concerned about is your own reputation. You're not concerned about God. You're not concerned about leading that child to God. You're concerned about what other people think about you. This is not a parenting message. Let's get back to the text. The reality is you and I aren't going to change people's hearts in society. We can function and live in a way that shows we need Jesus. And we pray that God will help others to see they need Jesus as well. And it's a process. It takes time. It takes consistency. And when the pressure's on, the lesson's intensified. So you and I need to learn how to respond to this pressure appropriately. Gospel transformation is not going to be accomplished with rebellious or coercive behavior. And this is a very important thing to keep in mind as persecution and affliction intensifies. Because when persecution and affliction intensifies from outside, it's easy to get in the flesh. And our behaviors can become wrapped up in what we resent and what we feel is wrong. And then rather than reacting in God's truth, we react in the flesh. We've got to resist that. Walking in biblical truth, being respectful and responsible in society empowers our gospel witness. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your own hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. There's a certain level of wisdom in this, isn't it, that Paul is writing? He's basically saying, mind your own business. And I don't know how in the world you can be addicted to Facebook and mind your own business. You're just so wrapped up in everybody's lives and everything that comes flying down the pike. It's like, oh, wow, are you minding your own business? No, but I'm minding theirs. Yeah. Don't you have enough problems? Do you need to embrace other people's problems along with yours? Aspire to live quietly. You say, Pastor, I know you. You have a Facebook. And I have to be, I agree. And there are times I'm speaking from wisdom. I can get involved in people's lives. I got no business. This is nonsense. There's the time to turn it off and put it down and move on in life, to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your own hands as we instructed you, that you may walk properly before outsiders, being dependent on no one. How you and I live on this earth is significant. God's using our lives. He wants to lift us up, his testimonies of his gospel grace. We need to walk in this. The prayer is that God will reveal the wisdom of biblical behavior and silence the opposition of the opponents. And we've got to commit ourselves to God. You and I are to walk in obedience. You and I will never change a heart. God will. And when God does, God gets the glory. When you think you've changed a heart, then you take the pat on the back and you say, look at what I helped them to see. We need to be relying on God. Verse 16. Followers of Jesus do not submit to ruling authorities out of weakness, but as servants of God. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Live as people who are free. Now, walk with me through this real quickly. I'm hoping you have a Bible either opened or on your screen or something like that. Because there's some things on verse 16 I want to point out to you. He says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. The word live, as people who are free, and then later on, but living as servants of God, live and living are not in the Greek. They're not there. Those words do not exist in the Greek text, which is the inspired text, by the way. So that word is interpretive. It's brought in by, in this case, the translators of the ESV, but the other translators have supplied that as well. That are similar terms. So it basically is, as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as servants of God. The verb is implied previously. And I think the verb that is implied is the word submit back in verse 13. Submit as those who are free. See the paradox? Not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but submitting as servants of God. Servants of the Lord. God does not want them to appear reluctant or oppressed when they show respectful compliance to governing authorities. Did you hear that? That gets to where we live, doesn't it? How are we to do this? Well, God doesn't want us to appear reluctant or oppressed when we show respectful compliance to governing authorities. The enablement to respond as they should is going to come from the indwelling grace of Christ in them and you and I as well. That's how we're going to do this. It's the only way we're going to do this. It is for the Lord Jesus that they respond honorably to those in positions of authority in society, not because they are reacting to these officials with servile fear. It's not because they're the masters and we have to submit. It's unto the Lord that we submit. See, the authority is God's, and we're submitting to God ultimately in these things. And we're trying to do it in an attitude that honors our Lord. Gospel grace in Jesus frees them from these worldly encumbrances to serve all people in the name and honor of the Lord Jesus. Submit as people who are free. Submit as those who are free in Christ, delivered from this. This is not yours. They're not over you. God is over you. You submit as those who've been freed by God's grace, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but rather as servants of God. Followers of Jesus are not to pretend to be submissive, not having dealt with the fleshly feelings of resentment and bitterness. We need to know that as well. Many times we can go along, say, okay, fine, I'll do what they've said, but we're resentful and we're bitter the entire time. Rather than releasing this to God and say, God, you need to work in this. I don't think this was right. I don't think this was appropriate, but God, I'm going to do it as unto you. I'm going to submit in a way that shows that this comes from a heart that's willing. So God, change my heart. When you face those things and those resentments are there and those bitter feelings materialize, what are you going to need to do? You need to go to passages like this and you need to ask God to do what? Change your heart. Because what you're ultimately looking at is we need to see heart change in these officials. But what we may need to see is heart change in ourselves. Before any of that's going to have any bearing. God's real. God's powerful. He wants it to work in us. In a different context, servants to masters, Paul offers the same type of advice. And listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with goodwill as unto the Lord and not to men. We are to serve people from the heart as serving the Lord. Bondservants, so basically people who were servants of a master. They were to serve that master as they were serving the Lord. So let's ask the question, how should you serve the people that have positions of authority over you? As serving the Lord. Not just when their eye is on you, not just when they're watching you, but at all times, living as God's servants on this earth. What should be your attitude toward an oppressive boss? Well, you're not expecting me to call evil good, are you? No, not. It's evil. It's wrong. It shouldn't be. But your attitude shouldn't be like that either. You should have a heart that says, God, work in me. Change me. Help me to have the right reaction. Help me to have the right response here. I need you to change me because I need you to change them. Help me, God. Work in me. The people of God submit to others in life as they would as unto the Lord. They do this with the freedom and joy of knowing that God is going to be honored. They submit knowing that they're blessed in doing what the Lord desires in the way that he desires. We don't do this with an attitude. We don't do this with resentment. We do this in the right way. It's like, I'm speaking again to parents. Another parenthetical aside. How many times do parents instruct their children to do a particular thing and they go out and they do it, but they don't do it with the right attitude? How do you feel about that, parents? Johnny, I want you to go out in the backyard. I want you to get that flat-bladed shovel and I want you to pick up the poop that the dog has put out there. What? I got homework to do. Liar. What? I don't want to do that. Hey, your dog, your responsibility, get out there and pick up the poop. Oh, fine, fine, my dog. What are you going to do? Take the dog away? Fine, fine. I'll get my shovel. Go get the shovel. There, fine, I did it. Are you happy now? We see that in our kids, don't we? Yes? Oh, you said, not my kids. Bless your heart. Maybe they're reflecting something that they see in us. When we're asked to do something that we don't think is reasonable or appropriate, and we get an attitude, and we stomp around and storm around and act defiant. And then we're shocked that our children act like we act. God needs to do a work in us, doesn't he? All of us, doesn't he? Yes, we need him to change us from the inside out. God, work in our hearts. Don't let me have an attitude, God. Help me not to be resentful in this. Help me to honor you in all of this. Followers of Jesus are to be God-centered and others-oriented. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. He says, honor everyone. The eyes of every follower of Jesus should be open to seeing ways that other people can be honored and served. You and I should be praying, God, help me to see the way that I can honor and serve other people around me. I want to be used of you, God, to do that. I want to look at opportunities. Honor everyone. That's all inclusive. In this way, the gospel grace of Jesus sets us free from the self-centered norms of life. It's just not normal to go around looking for ways to serve other people. You're going to have the grace of God within you to do that. Honoring people. How can I help? How can I lend assistance? What are ways that I can show somebody I care, that I honor them, I appreciate them? Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever will be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve, so what should we as his followers do? Serve. Look for opportunities to serve, to care, to honor other people. All people should be viewed with dignity and respect. All people, every person born on the face of this earth reflects the dignity of God. We should honor them as image bearers of God. Even though they're in a sin-marred condition, we should honor them with dignity and respect. Love the brotherhood. One's brothers and sisters in Christ are family, and they should be treated as such. Our challenges and our afflictions should never blind us to the hardships of others. That's just the nature of things. When things go hard for you, you tend to become self-focused and self-absorbed and self-reflective. When the pressures are on you, you need to ask God, God, I know things are not going well right now. I'm going through a trial. I know you're testing me. I know you're shaping me. Help me to open my eyes to see the needs of other people. You will go through that trial so much better if you will ask God to do that. Open your eyes to the needs of other people. When the affliction and persecution comes to the church, we need to open our eyes to the needs of other people. We're going to have to ask God, help us to see this. And that means particularly our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want to become blind to one another in the midst of these things. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. We should really love each other. We should really care about each other. And if you're sitting there going, yeah, people should really love me. People should really care about me. I'm saying, let's look out. Let's say, yes, where are the needs? How can I love? How can I care? How can I show that I care about my brothers and sisters? Fear God. Only God should be feared as the sovereign Lord. One of the things that the Caesar was to the Roman people was like deity. And he was to be honored and worshiped like a god. Peter said, that's not what I'm telling you. He says, above all, you fear God. You don't honor these rulers and such like they're God. You honor God and then you respect them. No one else, not even the supreme ruler on earth, should be feared as God is feared. Supreme allegiance and loyalty are to God alone. Chapter 1, verse 17 of this letter, Peter says, "And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile." We're on this earth and we should fear God throughout the entire time that we're here on this earth. Honoring God, fearing God, respecting God, and then honor the emperor. Followers of Jesus are to honor the king or the emperor, even after they have placed their trust in the Lord, who is ultimately the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're to honor the emperor. Honor those in positions of authority. Those in supreme roles of authority should never take the place of our Lord God. It is the Lord alone who is worshipped, but those who hold those positions of ruling authority, the king, the emperor, they should be honored. They should be respected. Honor the emperor. Worship the Lord. So, let's stop and ask some questions that hopefully penetrate to our hearts about things that may need to change. Are there aspects of your attitude toward ruling authorities that need to be changed? Are there aspects of your attitude toward ruling authorities that need to be changed? You can sit here and say, well, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Okay, well, now that it's been pointed out, what do you think God would have us to do? I think we've got to say, okay, Lord, help me. There's going to have to be some practical steps taken by you in my life. You're going to have to work on me. You're going to have to change my thoughts. You're going to have to change the way I process this stuff. Help me to change and help me to be prepared to encounter that and fight that enemy that's going to surface in my heart, because you know it's going to come, don't you? Let's fight against these things. It's not going to be easy. There are things that need to change. Do you repay the evil of foolishness and ignorance with good deeds? Do you repay the evil of foolishness and ignorance with good deeds? When people oppose you and come against you and treat you badly, I'm not telling you to call their evil good. I'm just saying, how about putting biblical truth into practice and you do something good for them? Are you kidding me, Pastor? I'm just saying, that's what the Bible tells us to do. You said, that's not natural. Exactly. We're going to have to rely on God to do this, aren't we? Do you have to pretend to be submissive to authority? Or is it as unto the Lord from the heart? We shouldn't be pretending. We should be saying, God, change me. I'm going to do the right thing, but I'm going to ask you to change my heart. You say, well, if I don't have the right heart and I don't have the right attitude, should I just not do it? Should I just go ahead and be disrespectful? No. Be respectful and ask God to change your heart. How consistently is your life God-centered and others-oriented? How consistently is it? Man, if God's brought you to this place and you say, well, not very. I can see areas I'm not doing well in. You know what? Every one of us, if we're honest, will say that that's the case. Is this meant to come and lay this heavy burden on you and rob you of all anticipation for Monday morning, because now your existence is going to be weighted down with this unbelievable burden? Now I got to respect people around me and try to look for opportunities to do good. You know, the amazing thing that God does, he changes our hearts. And he helps us to do what's right joyfully, finding satisfaction and delight from God as we do these things. That's what we should be looking for. God, come, pour this grace into me. Pour it into the lives of us as your church. We should be praying for one another. The battle you have is the battle others have too. We need to support and encourage one another in these things. Let's be a people that are set apart by God's grace and reflecting something completely different to this world than what they would anticipate coming from us. Let's honor God in the midst of all of this so that he is exalted, that we trust him to change our hearts and to change the hearts of others. God, we need you. There is no way in the world we can do this by our own power. God, there are areas, multiple areas of conviction that I myself have felt going through this text. I need you, God, to change me, to help me. I want, God, to do what's right, and I want to receive the benefit and the peace that comes from obedience and the joy that comes from putting your word into practice, trusting you, anticipating, God, that you will be active in these things. God, may we anticipate your activity in the life of our church as we seek to embrace these things with a God-honoring consciousness. God, come, move, stir, change us for the glory of your name. And God, may we anticipate you not only changing our hearts, but changing the hearts of those around us. Come, we need you, God. Amen.